Now, if the book of Revelation ended at chapter 13 and verse 18 with the 666, we would, of all people, be most miserable. We would be greatly depressed. But remember that this book of Revelation is written in cycles. Cycles where you have God working from the beginning of either creation history or from the coming of the Lord Jesus into the world until his second coming. Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher, and I trust that today the Lord will bless you through His Word. We're turning to the book of Revelation, chapter 14. This is the chapter of heavenly sights and sounds. It is a tremendous encouragement to us after all those views that we considered in Revelation 13, where the devil seems to be busy at work, that who has the name 666, working his evil. We are glad to be redeemed, saved, delivered out of the jaws of the lion. And so we are a people of heaven. And I pray that today, that as we look at the sights and as we listen to the sounds of heaven, that the Lord will draw near and encourage your heart. We have every opportunity today to present the gospel message, the good news, God's good news, that He saves sinners and brings them right through to glory, all because of His grace, of His mercy to sinners. And I pray that today that you will rest and rejoice in that mercy. Now, firstly, we're going to have a message and song. Stay tuned as we let the Bible speak today. Amen, and you may be seated. We are going to the book of Revelation tonight again, to chapter 14. Chapter 14. Now, sometimes preachers get surprised, and sometimes we're surprised at ourselves, because there was one Sunday evening that I preached four chapters of Revelation all in one. That was when we dealt with the seven trumpets. And then in chapter 12, we did a whole chapter in one go, and we dealt with the wrath of the devil. And then last week, probably the deepest, darkest chapter of the book, we covered in one meeting. But tonight, we're only going to get into a few verses. So we're going to read together verses 1 to 7 of chapter 14. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne, and before the four beasts, and the elders. And no man could learn that song, but the 144,000, which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb, whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the firstfruits unto God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, Fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. We're going now to the pulpit ministry of our church here in Cloverdale. And this message on Revelation chapter 14 was preached near Canada Day. And so we are doing a bit of a checkup on the issues concerning the gospel of Christ in this land of Canada. Well, today we are celebrating the 151st birthday of Canada, since its confederation way back when. Now, would you like to give a report card on Canada? We could say that this country economically is doing surprisingly well. I think that there's a lot of people that are doing very well in this country economically. There's always people who struggle. There are always people who find it difficult to make ends meet. But by and large, across this country, the economy is moving along very well. One website put Canada as number 8 in all the countries of the world to live. And they rated that because of its safety and welcoming. So that's Canada for you. We are the gentle, nice people that welcome everybody. And so this is undoubtedly, as we have received such a welcome to this country. Spiritually and morally, I'm afraid that the report card doesn't read so well, because this year our country has taken a great nosedive with the legislation of marijuana and pot that is going to be out in the full open by October. We are certainly going the wrong direction. Drug addiction, alcoholism, and all of these things, there are many sad stories in this country. And of course, there are people dying on our streets every day from these things. And this ought to be a great burden in this country. Abortion is another one. It seems that the pressure is on for everyone to be more accepting and tolerant on that. There's the Trinity Western matter of accreditation for lawyers and their lawyer course. That has gone wrong. And as you may have seen in the paper, even in the secular world, they see that Christians are in for some degree of persecution. In education, our country has thrown out the Bible and brought in, well, the law of every man doing that which is right in his own eyes.
And it seems that teachers and educators can promote almost anything while the Bible is not tolerated at all. And now we have gender neutral gay programs where parents are not even to know that their children are attending these programs, which really are a propaganda to promote that very lifestyle. Liberties and freedoms for doctors in this country and for preachers too. I think that many are feeling the need to have great care, and there is an erosion of liberties in this country. All Christians will also agree that in Canada today, the world is stronger. The ungodly have a stronger voice. And this book of Revelation teaches us that behind every anti-Christian movement is the powers of darkness. If you've been following along in these messages in Revelation, this is the glaring fact that we have an agenda of darkness, where the dragon, who is using the beast as his tool, helped by the other beast out of the land, there is Babylon, the great whore of Revelation, that is counterfeiting the true church of the Lord Jesus. Now, if the book of Revelation ended at chapter 13 and verse 18 with the 666, we would, of all people, be most miserable. We would be greatly depressed. But remember that this book of Revelation is written in cycles. Cycles where you have God working from the beginning of either creation history or from the coming of the Lord Jesus into the world until his second coming. And then when that section deals with that period, the cycle begins at the beginning again. And each time it ends with the eternal state. We are now in this section, chapter 12, 13, and 14, where in chapter 12, we have the wrath of the devil. We have chapter 13, the works and the tools of Satan. And now in chapter 14, we're brought to the eternal state. Because as you begin to read chapter 14, you will see a lamb on the Mount Zion. And I want to announce to you that that's heaven. That's not the earthly Jerusalem. That's the heavenly Jerusalem. Because I read in verse 3 that they are before the throne. And if you remember way back in chapter 5, that throne, well, that's the seat of God's authority. That's the HQ, the headquarters for all the execution of God's decrees and his purposes. And John in Revelation 14 is given this revelation where he sees into heaven. He beholds the Lord Jesus as a lamb. And with him are the 144,000. By the way, the other time in the Bible when we read of Mount Zion is in Hebrews 12, 22, and it's heaven. Let me take you to Hebrews 12, 22, and just take note of this. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. Now, I know that in Revelation chapter 14, there's a lot of things are said about Jerusalem, but it's not the earthly Jerusalem. It's the heavenly. And as you read chapter 12 of Hebrews, verse 22, it talks about the heavenly Jerusalem, the innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn. And in Revelation 14, they are referred to as the 144,000. So I have no problem referring to the 144,000 as the church. Remember what we learned when we met the 144,000 in chapter 7, that this is for many, many good reasons, solid reasons, a symbolic number. And never mind the math, the verse 9 goes on to talk about an innumerable company which no man could count. And if I may just take a moment to rehearse some of the big exegetical problems you'll run into if you take 144,000 literally, that these are a specific number, and whether you refer to them as Jews, to Christians, or Christians and Jews, the 12 tribes of Israel. Well, there's two tribes missing in that list in chapter 7. And there's all kinds of difficulties in taking that literally. And we have learned that there are many numbers in the book of Revelation that are symbolic, including 666. There are not 666 antichrists. It is a symbolic number referring to Satan, the false trinity. And six is the number of man. It's the number of failure or counterfeit. And here, therefore, is the 144,000, the church. And the wonderful thing we learn in chapter 14 is that they are all in heaven. Everyone make it to glory. That the church is safe. The Lamb is on Mount Zion. The church is there too. And when the roll is called up yonder, everyone are there. I take the theme of this chapter from a repeated statement that I discover here. In chapter 13:10, you have this statement. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. Now, I know that in chapter 13, there is a lot of details given about the devil, the great beast out of the sea, the beast out of the land, the one with two horns, how he deceives and he brings fire down from heaven. There's the mark of the beast, there's the 666. But in reality, God is not wanting to put the devil on show. He's putting the saints on show. And he is saying, here is the patience and the faith of the saints. Now in chapter 14, verse 12, you'll find the same statement. Here is the patience of the saints. And so every Christian makes it to heaven. No matter what they suffer on earth, no matter what the trials, no matter what the devil does, even persecution. And we noted the persecution of the woman in chapter 13. But in spite of all that, even the martyrdoms, the church safely arrives in heaven. The Christian can lose his life. The Christian can lose his limbs. You can lose your home. You can lose your body, but you can never lose your soul. We are safe. We are kept by the power of the Lord. And the Lord said in Matthew 10:28, fear not him that can kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. And that's why the Christian doesn't take the mark of the beast. That's why we want to live for Christ, because we fear him that is able to keep the soul. And this is all because we're trusting in the Lamb. Now, the wonderful view that we're given here at the get-go in chapter 14:1, the first thing in sight, it's not the church, it's the Lamb. And I looked, and lo, a Lamb. He's unchangeable. He's still the Lamb. He's undefeatable because he's still standing. Lo, I looked, and lo, a Lamb stood on Mount Zion. And he's undeniable. He's there. He's real. And the church, the 144,000, we're told here in verse 1, and with him. Did I ever tell you that Christ and his people are inseparable? He is the groom, we are the bride, and the Father hath said, what God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. There is no divorce with God. When you are redeemed and you're married to the Lord, you will never again be treated separately from him, because we are united with him and we are with the Lord Jesus. Now, time is going on, and I notice in this chapter that there are 8 things which the saints will keep, though they go through tribulation, though they be harassed by Satan, and the persecution that they suffer. There are 8 things that the saint of God, the redeemed, cannot lose. And they're all packed into these first few verses in Revelation chapter 14. And so let this be a comfort and an assurance to every one of us in the Lord's church and in the Lord's service. We are living in evil days. We are living in times when we must stand and be willing to pay the price as a Christian. But whatever you are called to endure, you will never lose the blessing of Christ and the gospel. I want to go through these 8 things tonight. Firstly, number 1, verse 1, Christians keep the mark or the name of the Father. Look at the end of verse 1. Having his Father's name written on their foreheads. Now, that is the alternate to the mark of the beast. Christians do not wish to take the mark of the beast, but praise God, we have the mark of the Father. And for a great many, many reasons, the people of God who are redeemed and washed and are branded as the Lord's, our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You remember how the Lord Jesus said, rejoice rather that your name is written in heaven. That's better than even having power over devils. And here you'll see that that mark of the Father will never be taken away. Now, this is wonderful because think of all that these redeemed have come through. Now, we know when we looked at these 144,000 in chapter 7 that they were safe. But there's an awful lot of saints that were martyred in between. When we went through those chapters of the 7 trumpets, when we looked in chapter 12, the wrath of Satan, chapter 18, the beast and the other beast, and the mark of the beast and the 666, during that time, that's great tribulation. And there are Christians who are martyred for Jesus. Well, they do not lose the mark of the Father. And what great assurance that is unto us. Now, in John 6:27, the text we had this morning for our communion, it talks about the Lord Jesus, whom the Father hath sealed. And Christians are sealed. We are marked, kept, branded for heaven. And we are kept, John 10:28, that we are in the Father's hand, and none shall perish. And so here is the doctrine of the security of the saints. Here is the safety of the one who's trusting in the Lamb. And if your hope tonight is in the Lord Jesus, He is keeping you. Even in martyrdom, think of Stephen. When they were ready to hurl stones at his head, he was able to pray as a martyr, calling upon God and saying, "Lord, receive my spirit." And as he laid down his life, he was kept. And of course, he saw the living Christ standing at the right hand of God. And Stephen went straight to heaven. So even martyrs are safe.
Be listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. And I hope that today that you have been encouraged here as we've looked at Revelation 14. We will continue this in our next message. And I hope that God will give you a hunger for the glories of heaven. Hear these opening words, "And I looked, and lo, a Lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having the Father's name written in their forehead." That ought to excite every Christian and stir our hearts to worship Him. I hope that you are a worshiper of the Lord Jesus, and that you are looking forward to that glorious day when we shall see the King in His glory. Until that day, Maranatha. You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak. I want to thank you for joining with us as we've brought the message of God's Word today from Revelation chapter 14. What's on here at the Free Presbyterian Church? Well, these Sundays leading up to Easter, I'll be preaching a series on the seven sayings of the Savior from the cross. These are the utterances of Christ in His agony as He redeemed His people while upon that cruel cross. It is a series that gets to the very heart of the gospel. It focuses upon the man of Calvary in his death. And I hope that you can join with us here at our church, at the Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale on the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue. Our Sunday morning services are at 10:30 p.m. Also, we have our evening service when I'm continuing on in the book of Revelation. And these weeks I'm dealing with the closing chapters, the wonderful sights and sounds of heaven. Join us here for our Sunday services at the Free Presbyterian Church, 10:30 and 6 p.m. Also, you can join us on our webcast. If you're unable to join in person, you can go to your computer and log in through cloverdalefpc.ca. Just hit the red button when it turns live now, and you'll be right into our services here at the Free Presbyterian Church. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. I do thank you for joining with us. Do go to the website, www.cloverdalefpc.ca, for all the information concerning our church and radio ministry.